Many people have three questions that they ponder or ask in life. The first question is this: where did I come from? It speaks about origin. Everybody wants to know, where did I come from? What's my family's history? Where did we come from? The second question may be, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And many people spend their life trying to figure that out, chasing that. Why? What is my purpose in life? Then the third question, which also is important, where am I going? I mean, is there life after death? Everyone ponders that. Is there life after death? Some say yes, some say no. Some believe this is the best there is. And I believe that if you get the first question right, the second question becomes easier. Where did I come from? We find our identity in God. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if our identity is in God, then we begin to find our purpose. And when you find your purpose, you're able to live courageously for God. Because you know your purpose, and you know you wasn't an accident. You came from someone, which is God. And God always makes us for a purpose. And in the book of Joshua, we're going to see that Joshua was called to be courageous. Joshua was called to be courageous, and it fulfills God's purpose upon his life. You too have been called to be courageous and to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And so we need to be bold, believe in the Lord daily, to live a courageous life. We need courageous living. We need that in our lives. So this morning, I want to encourage you to live a courageous life and what that looks like as we apply the book of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 to our lives. So when you find the book of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, I ask you to stand with me as we read God's word. The book of Joshua is right after the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Everybody has it? All right, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'm giving to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us, God, to be courageous, for you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. This could have been a dark day in the life of Israel, in the life of Joshua in particular. Moses, their great leader had served them for 40 years. He had been with them and he had, by God's power and God's grace, had brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. Moses had served God faithfully. It says that there was no one as humble as Moses and who had done mighty works before man as Moses. Moses had served his time and he died. And it said that the people mourned for Moses 40 days. Their leader, who they had known, was now dead. And I'm pretty sure Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, was also mourning. Because now Moses is dead. He had no one to look to but God. So as he's mourning the death of Moses, God comes and makes a pronouncement. And he says to Joshua, Moses is dead. Now Joshua already knew that. So God wasn't telling Joshua that he didn't know. But God was really making a statement that Moses is dead, but I'm not. Moses is dead, but I'm still alive. And my purpose is still alive. My will for these people will be accomplished because I'm still alive. And I want you to know, maybe today there's something in your life, someone in your life, maybe that's dead. But God is alive. He's alive in your life. And because God is alive, he told Moses, he told Joshua to be bold, to be courageous. Because he's telling Joshua, I'm going to do a work in your life and in these people's life because I am God. So be bold, be courageous. Believe me, it's time to move on. 40 days is enough for mourning. It's time. God said, I've given you time to mourn. Moses is not coming back, but it's time to move ahead. Some of you need to move ahead in life. Some things in your life you're mourning, you need to move ahead. God said, that's gone. Not happening, it's gone. Move ahead and be courageous. And live for God. And as Christians, we need that. We need to be encouraged to live for God and to know that he's with us and to understand our purpose. God came to Joshua and told him his purpose. Your purpose now is to lead these people into the promised land. That's your purpose. Moses took them to the brink of the promised land, but you're going to take them over. You're going to cross over and take these people to inherit my promise, the promised land. And I believe that if we're going to live for God and be courageous, the first thing that must happen is that every believer must understand their purpose. Every believer must understand their purpose. When you understand your purpose, it gives you boldness and you can be courageous to live for God. Despite what happens, despite the circumstances, despite what people say, despite who leaves you, despite all that, you say, I know my purpose, and I know that God is with me, and I'm going to move forward. Yeah, I had some time to mourn, but now God has still told me he's alive, and my purpose is still alive. Every believer must understand their purpose. And the unfortunate thing for most Christians, we don't understand that, our purpose. We don't know why we were left on this earth. Why are you still here? Why did someone else go home to be with the Lord and you're still here? That means purpose. Why did that person go and be with the Lord and you here? Because they fulfilled their purpose. Moses' time was done. He had did everything that God was going to let him do, allowed him to do. His time was done and over. He said, Joshua, it's your time. Take these people over. Be courageous. And I want you to know this. God's purpose for your life is greater than anything you could ever achieve apart from him. Can you imagine God coming to Joshua and telling him this is what I'm going to do for you? Now here is Joshua. He has idolized Moses. I mean, he would follow Moses around, and Moses go pray in the tent. He's out there, you know, eavesdropping on him and God, what's going on in there. I mean, Moses go up to the hill. He go up there and sit there and wait for him to come back. I mean, Joshua idolized Moses. And sometimes God has to remove people out of our way so we can not look to Moses, but look to God. And sometimes God has to remove people out of your way so you can look to him. Sometimes we're looking to the wrong people. You need to look to the Lord because he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for your life, and it's greater than anything you could ever achieve apart from him. No matter what you achieve in life, if it's apart from God, it doesn't mean anything. If you achieve something and it's apart from God and it does not bring him glory, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Now, for some people, that don't sound nice. You say, you mean tell me I can do all this? It doesn't mean anything. It might mean something on this side of heaven, but it means nothing when you stand before God if you haven't fulfilled his purpose for your life. What is it if you say, well, God, I made all this money, did all this stuff, and what if God said to you, my purpose for you was not to make money. My purpose for you was to go overseas and be a missionary and give your life over there. But you didn't go. You stayed over here and made a whole bunch of money. But that wasn't my purpose for you. Think about that. So God tells Joshua, Moses is dead. Therefore, arise. I mean, get up. Get up. Do something. It's time. And I want you to understand this. If we're going to possess what God has promised, you must have an eternal perspective. If you're going to possess what God has promised you, you're going to have an eternal perspective. Because this is the thing that God has. He gives you a purpose and he gives you promises. And if you're going to understand what God's purpose for your life, God's purpose is an eternal perspective. God's promise has eternal implications to it. And we need to understand that. And when you understand God's purpose for your life, then you know, okay, wait a minute. I know I have to do this. Because he tells Moses, he tells Joshua, I'm going to give you this land to all these people. And he says that to the people of Israel. I'm going to give it to you. Why is God giving Joshua and the people of Israel that land? What's the purpose behind that? Well, God had promised Abraham he's going to do it. He told Abraham, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this. Abraham, dead. Abraham died, the promise went to who? Isaac. Then Isaac died, the promise went to who? Jacob. Then Jacob dead, the promise still goes to the 12 tribes of Israel. God says, even though people die, my purpose and plan remains. So I want you to understand this. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world, I want you to be courageous and understand you can live for God because God is alive. And his purpose is going to be fulfilled. Now, God's purpose is going to be fulfilled whether you do it to someone else. I just choose to be a part of it. Don't do it without me, God. Let me be a part of the team. I want to be a part of the team that accomplishes God's will. And so many of us live our lives with no eternal perspective. And what I mean by that is this. This life is not all there is. This life is not all there is. And many of us spend too much time, too much focus, too much money on this side of heaven. And no thinking about the future. About is there life after death? Yes, it is. There is. Who is it out there that God wants you to reach for him? Who is it out there that God wants you to reach and make a difference in their life for eternity? Jesus lived for eternity. Because he lived and died, we now have what? Eternal life. Jesus Christ had an eternal perspective. He said, I came that they may have what? Life, and life more abundantly. So we think about this, we think about our perspective and internal perspective. And if you're going to fulfill God's purpose, number two is this, you must claim God's promises. Now this is the time when you can name it and claim it. This is the time I'm giving you freedom to name it and claim it. All right, Cynthia, you good? Now, when I say, because what we have done sometimes, and we have allowed the word of faith people to rob us of the promises of saying things that God has given in his word. Some promises you should be claiming. You really should. I'm not going to let people rob me of what's my promise because they take something out of the way. Because I'm trying to say, God ain't promised you a Mercedes. I mean, if you get one, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. Just, you know, hey, give me a ride every now and then. But it don't, you know, but that's okay, you know. But what I'm trying to say is this, you know, your promises have an eternal perspective behind it. Now, when we think about promises, what did God promise Joshua? What did he promise him? Well, let's read it again and see what he says to him. And verse 3 says this, every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I am given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Joshua could claim that. He could really claim, God, I take that because you said it. God has promised us one thing, letter A is this, provision. He's promised you that. In Matthew 6, 32 and 33, God told Jesus told his disciples, don't do this. He says, don't seek after things, don't run behind things on the earth. Don't seek after that stuff. Don't run behind those things. He says, seek me and I'll take care of your needs. That's what God said. He says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Now, I believe that. I believe I am to seek after God's will. I'm not to seek after personal things. I'm not to seek after this, seek after that, and run after that and say, how am I going to take care of myself? And sometimes what we do, we chase after stuff and we miss God. We should be God chasers. We should chase after God. And God, if you chase after me, I got you covered. I can guarantee you, if you seek God first in his kingdom, he will take care of you. You will never go hungry. I can guarantee you. You say, well, how can you guarantee me that? Because God's word said it, and I'm going to claim that promise. I'm going to name it, and I'm going to claim it. Provision. I'm claiming that one. And there's a scripture to go with that. Matthew 6, 32 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Joshua, everywhere that your foot would tread upon, I'm giving to you. Man, that's amazing. He's telling Joshua, man, wherever you walk is yours. Wherever your foot step upon is yours. He's telling Joshua, you have the victory. Isn't that good news? Can you imagine that you can believe the Lord daily, Joshua, getting up, walking around, walking over, you know, walking, you know, walking to stuff? Joshua, where you going? I'm just walking around. I'm just walking. I'm going for a walk. Why is he going for a walk? Because he said, God, you told me, sole of my foot tread, you're going to give it to me. I'm just going to have to walk. See, that's faith. Faith is an action, walking in faith. And sometimes we have to walk in faith, even in our homes. I have to walk in faith. God, you're going to give me victory in my home. Amen? You need victory in your home. God, you're going to give me victory in my job. I'm going to walk around my job, trusting God. I'm going to walk around my community, trusting God. Because God has promised to provide for me. So walk on, Joshua, walk on. So God told him, I'm going to provide for you. Then he says something else in verse 5. He promised him protection. Let it be protection. And he says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. He said, Joshua, you can walk. And not only that, no man is going to be able to stand before you. You're not going to be defeated. If someone come against you, they're not going to defeat you. I'm going to protect you. Joshua, I'm going to fight for you. And I want you to understand this. Now, protection doesn't mean that, hey, you know, when our time is finished, it's finished. And so what that means, what God is saying, to, and I believe this, that nothing can come into your life and take you out of here until God's done with you. I believe that. No sickness, no sorrow, no person, no devil in hell can touch you until your time is finished. Moses died, dead. Know why? It was finished for him. Jesus died on Calvary. You know what he said? It is finished. The work is done. Paul said, my time is up. He said, you know what? I've fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I'm done. See, it's good news to say when you live for purpose, when you know, man, that you say, it's over with. You know, wouldn't it be amazing? Your body gets sick. Folks come, we're going to pray for your healing. You say, hey, I'm okay. I'm done. It's finished. God told me this is it. Don't pray for my healing. Pray for my graduation. I'm done. This is it. See, when you know your purpose, you can die in peace. You can, you know, pick your feet up, put the cover over you, and say, it is finished. It is done. That's courageous living, amen? It's courageous living. Now, most of us going kicking and screaming, don't, Lord, don't take me. I'm not done, you know what? Because most of us don't know our purpose and don't know whether it's finished or not. When you know your purpose, you lose your mind when the doctor gives you a bad report. So, well, it might be finished. So God's promised us provision, protection. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says death has no victory over us at all. Death has no sting. You know why? Because Christ has overcome death for us. So we can be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, that's bold living, isn't it? That's courageous living. You can believe in the Lord daily because you know God is with me. God's got me. I'm claiming his promises of provision, protection. And number three is this. I claim his presence. I claim his presence. Look what God says to Joshua again in verse number 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you in this. I will not leave you or forsake you. He says, not only am I going to give you provision and protection, I'm going to give you me, my presence. I'm going with you. So that's good news. Because Joshua thinking, Lord, Moses is gone. Who's going with me? He says, I am. I'm going with you. That's why David could say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. Why? For you are with me. And I want you to understand this, believers. God has not told us that our life will be a void of heartache and pain. But he has told us and promised us, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Even when you're in the shadow or the valley of death, I'm right beside you. I'm right beside you. Don't fear. Be courageous. Live for me. And that's what he was telling Joshua. Joshua, I got you. I know you're hurting. Moses is dead. But look to me. You have a purpose. Your purpose is greater than you ever could achieve without me. You have an eternal perspective. I'm going to give the people the promised land. Because I promised to Abraham. And I promised Abraham that through him, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's an eternal perspective. So are you claiming God's provision? What do you need from God? What do you need from God? Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you claiming God's protection? Are you claiming his presence? That's what God wants us to do. And God continually told Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Then he told him again, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Now, what do you think God wants Joshua to do? Wow, y'all got it. Y'all some good students, man. Y'all pick him quick. That's what he wants Joshua to do. Now, what do you think God wants you to do? Wow. In the midst of whatever going on in your life, be strong and courageous, no matter what you face. Courageous living. And we need some courageous Christians in the time that we live in. If we're ever going to see Christ will be done on this earth, we got to be courageous. We got to be bold. Now we got to be compassionate. We got to be loving. But we must be bold in what we believe and what we stand for. We have to. So I want to encourage you. Don't fret. Don't lose any sleep. You say, well, what are we going to do now? What the Supreme Court has said this. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. To me, it's what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what they say. I believe the word of God. And that's how I'm going to live my life. That's what I'm going to preach, that's what I'm going to teach, that's how I'm going to live. Now I'm going to do it lovingly, compassionately, but I'm going to do it courageously. And the problem with most Christians, we're so afraid to offend people that we don't say nothing. But also the problem is this. We have people who are bold in the wrong thing and not bold in the right thing. That's the problem we're having. We have Christians who are bold for the wrong thing and not bold for the right thing. God help us. The Bible talks about that. The Bible says in Isaiah, "Woe to you who call good evil and evil good." Woe means a curse be upon you. Be mindful of that, people of God. Be mindful of what you applaud. I'm only going to applaud what the Word of God applies. We need to be courageous and live for God. So third thing he told Joshua to do also, Joshua, trust God's word. Look what he says also in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that my servant Moses, my servant, commanded you. Not like how God keeps saying, Moses, my servant. What he's reminding Joshua is, Joshua, Moses is not your God. He's my servant. I'm your God. Moses, my servant, commanded you. Then he says, do not turn from the right, from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Trust God's word. Trust God's word. Trust what God has promised you. Trust that. Trust that God's able to provide for you, to protect you, his presence with you. Trust God's word. He says, Moses, I've given you my word. Stay in it. Now, how do we do that? How do we trust God? We believe God, letter A, believe God to fulfill all that he has promised. Believe God to fulfill all that he has promised. There are some precious promises in God's word. Many of us don't know, so we don't claim them. Many of us don't read our Bibles. This guy used the analogy of football player in the playbook. They said they could tell when a guy they want, maybe want to draft, they gave him their playbook. And they would put like $100 in there, in the playbook, and give it to him. Thick playbook, say, here you go, put $100 in there. They said, hey, have you read the playbook? Oh, yeah, I read it, man. These are some awesome plays. Yeah, I read the whole book, man. Awesome. And he said they could tell that he hadn't read the playbook because he said nothing about the $100. Many of us, we can tell you hadn't read the Bible because you said nothing about the promises of God. You don't know the Bible. You know bits and pieces, but you don't know the Bible. You know just here and there. What we're saying is there's promises in God's word, and you need to know what they are and begin to claim those promises. You need to trust God's word. We need to trust God's word over man's opinion. Over man's opinion. Trust God's word over man's opinion. Believe God to fulfill all the promise. When you believe God, you obey God's word. Obey God's word. He says, don't turn from the what? The right or the left. Do all that's according into it. When you trust God's word, you obey God's word. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Obey God. That's what Charles Stanley says. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. When you know you're doing what's right by the word of God, you can rest assured. God, I'm going to obey you because I believe you. I'm going to do what you said, and I'm going to leave the consequences to you. Come what may, I'm trusting you. Do you believe God? Do you believe his word? Are you obeying God's word? Now, if we want to trust God's word and to believe that God can fulfill this word, we got to do something. Number one, you got to read his word daily. He told Joshua, you should meditate on it, what? Day and night. Joshua, keep your word, keep my word always before you. Read it. He said, meditate on it day and night. Read it. What is your reading of God's word? You know that America, we are rich in Bible. I mean, we got Bible apps. I mean, we got just all kind of, I mean, just Bibles everywhere. ESV, NIV, KJV, NKJ. We got them all. Got them all. And we have not only that, on our phone, we have them at the tip of our fingertips. And do you know it says that America, we are Bible illiterate? We don't know the Bible. We don't know. We still believe Moses built the ark. So you say, well, really? I know he didn't build that. Somebody said, really? I didn't know Moses didn't build that. Noah built the ark. Okay, clear it up. Some of us watch more TV about the Bible than read it. So read his word daily. Do you eat daily? Amen, I do. Read his word daily. Jesus said, man cannot live by what? Bread alone. You said, I'm sure going to try. Need some word in you. Read his word daily. What is your reading of God's word? And if you are a Christian, you should be reading God's word, because reading God's word means what's influencing you. And the reason why most Christians are being influenced by the world, because that's what they're reading. The music is the world. TV shows is the world. The magazines is the world. And they're wondering why they live in a worldly life. Everything going in is the world. Where's the word at? I always say, spend more time in the faith book, less time on Facebook. Because what you put on Facebook lets me know how much time you've been in the faith book. We need to be in the word of God. Read his word daily. Also, meditate on his word daily. Now you read it, what does meditate mean? Well, it means like a cow. I mean, I'm not calling you a cow, but what a cow does with grass, they chew it up, swallow it, regurgitate it, chew it some more. What they're trying to do, that cow is trying to get every nutrient out of that grass that it can get. That's what God wants us to do. You can read God's word, read it through, okay, I read it, I'm done. No, you got to go back and meditate. What? Look at it again. What is it actually saying? What is it saying? I know what it's saying to Joshua. What is it saying to me? How can I apply these principles to my life? What can I do with this? So you read it, you meditate on it. When you do that, God begins to work in your life, because it says, you know, in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does what? Does not walk, you know what? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. There we go. Man, y'all some Bible reason here. And in his law, he does what? Then he says he should be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that does what? In its season. And all he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. The Bible says, but like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way the ungodly shall perish. That's Bible. That's Psalm 1. That's the word. So when you know that, you say, oh, wait a minute, I can get in God's word, I can prosper? Do you want to be a success in life? Do you? Now, I don't think nobody grows up saying, Dad, I want to be a failure when I grow up. We want to succeed. But I want to succeed and be successful in the things of God. In the things of God. So read his word daily. Meditate on his word daily. Thirdly, apply it to your daily life. What is God telling me to do today? God has something for you to do today. That's why we say, be bold. Believe on the Lord daily. Every day you get up that God gives you grace to awake is a day to serve him. Every day you wake up is a day to claim one of God's promises. God, I'm up. You're going to provide. You're going to protect. You're going to be with me. I'm trusting you. Speak to me through your word today. I'm going to apply it to my life. And when you do that, there might be a situation that come up. He said, man, God's word says do this. I do want to punch you, but I'm going to pray. I just read that scripture. Be angry and what? Sin not. You go to work, someone says something stupid. You say, oh, man, I'm going to. And he says, wait a minute. You read in James, be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak. For the wrath of God, a man does not produce the righteousness of God. You must know the word of God and apply it to your life. So then when you're tempted to sin, you quote God's word. If something comes your way, you got to reject that. It is written. You shouldn't do this. God's word. You must apply it to your life. So are you reading God's word? Are you meditating on it? Or are you applying it to your daily life? He told Joshua to do that. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Prosperous and successful. That's what I want to be in my life. Then he tells Joshua this in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's courageous living. Can you imagine how Joshua felt after God gave him those marching orders? Can you imagine that God coming and tell you, I got you. I got you. I'm with you. Let's go. You'd be, man, I'm unstoppable. Wouldn't you be courageous to say, man, today God is with me today? I would. And you should be because he is with you today. So what did Joshua do after hearing all this? What did Joshua do? He went for a walk. And he went to his officers. Look what he says in verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Joshua said, in 3 days we're going to start walking. Prepare yourself. Tell the people, get ready, get the provisions. We're heading somewhere. So point four is this. We have a mission, the promised land for Joshua. We have a playbook, and you have a role. God told Joshua the mission. God gave him the playbook. Then Joshua went to the officers and told them, get the people ready. Mission, playbook, and you have a role. Everyone in here who is a Christian has a role to play in the kingdom of God. If you are a Christian and you remember Beyond the Walls, you have a role to play in our church. We already have the mission. We already have the playbook. This is it. This is the playbook. This is what we go by. The question is, what's your role and are you ready? Are you prepared for what God's going to have you to do? He told the people, get ready. 3 days, we're going to possess the land. God has some things that he wants you to possess personally, some promises. And God has some things for our church that he wants us to possess. Is it land? No. It's the city. It's people. There are people who need to be redeemed and rescued. Is set free through Jesus Christ. He's called us to be those people, to be courageous, and to know our purpose, and to claim God's promises, and to trust his word, and to go forth. There are people out there who don't know Jesus Christ and they need to know him. That's why you're here, to be equipped to go to battle. Because the battle is not here in this room. The battle is out there. You come here to celebrate and shout what God has done, and you get equipped to go to the battle. Some of you are going to leave here today, and you're going to face a battle this week. And you're going to need to claim these promises. You're going to need to be courageous as soon as you leave here. But God says, be prepared. Here's the playbook. You have a role. Letter A is this. We must prepare for battle, but the victory has been won. The victory has been won. God told them, Joshua told the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and to do what? Take possession of the land that the Lord your God is what? Giving you to possess. In other words, God's already given it to us. We got to just go in and take it. What do you mean? God's giving it to us, but we got to go in and take it? How's that work? He's giving it to us, we got to take it. He's saying everything you need is prepared for you to battle the victory. And there may be things in your life that's going to try to hinder you, but you have the victory. And what was the first battle that Joshua and them faced? You might know in the book of Joshua, Jericho. That was the first battle. And what did Jericho do? They heard about those Israelites and said, you know what? They ain't coming in here. And what did they do? They built a wall. They built a wall to keep Israel out and say, you're not getting our land. And God told Joshua, do what? Get to walking. He said, to walk. He's on the walk. Just walk around and what? One time what? A day for how many days? 7 days. The last day, walk around how many times? Seven times. And do what? Shout. And the walls come tumbling down. So Joshua, I told you, every soul that your foot tread upon is yours. And what I'm trying to say to us, and in your life in particular, is this. Trust God, be courageous, claim his promises. No matter what's going on in your life, you can trust God. No matter who comes your way, who foes you face, what wall comes up, just praise God, it's going to come tumbling down. You have the victory. I believe that. I believe that in my own life. That's why I can have joy. Because I know my purpose. I know the God that I serve. I know he's going to provide for me. I know he's going to protect me. I know by his presence. So I can move on. And you should too. You can be courageous. You can preach boldly. And you got to back up. You got to apologize. You can say, this is what I'm going to do. Question for you. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What's causing you fear? Are you afraid of defeat? Don't be. We have victory. Are you afraid of people? Don't be. No man can stand against you. Are you afraid of walls? Don't worry about it. They'll come tumbling down. All you got to do is trust God. Prepare for battle. The victory has been won. What about our church? Are you afraid? Are you fearful? What are we going to do? We're going to praise God. We're going to trust God. We're going to walk by faith, literally walk by faith, and watch what God does. Because God has promised some things to us to provide for us, to protect us, his presence. And when we do that, we can praise God. When I think about that shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, that young man said that he did that because he wanted to start a what? A race war. Because he figured that those African Americans were going to rise up and grab their guns. And you know what they did? They did something he told me that no one in the world thought they would do. They got into the book. And they read the playbook. And had a role to play. And I believe they read and they saw Jesus on the cross, standing, being crucified, and people mocking him. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them for knowing not what they do. I believe they saw Stephen being stoned. Stoned to death by his own people for preaching the gospel. And Stephen looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them. And then they stood to that man and said, you hurt me, but I forgive you. God have mercy on your soul. Because it wasn't a race war. It was a spiritual war that's waging in the heavenlies. And can you imagine Satan saying, I can't believe this. You mean tell him they're going to forgive this guy? And God's like, yeah. Those are my people. That's what Christians do. They won the battle. They got the victory. And to God be the glory for the great things he has done. So conclusion is this. Trust God to accomplish his work in your life. Trust God to accomplish his work in your life. Not only that, invite one person to our weekend service. Why do we do that? Because people matter to God. And people need to hear the word of God. People need to know Jesus. And if you believe that this church is blessing you, been a blessing in your life, and that people are good, people will hear the word of God here, why wouldn't you invite somebody to church? Why wouldn't you do that? Why don't you go all week and say nothing? When you know people need Jesus, and you say, I believe they're going to get Jesus here, you should invite people here. Look around you. Look around. Just look around. Look around. There's some empty seats. Those represent souls. They represent souls. And our goal is to see every seat filled. Not so we can say, look at us. Say, look at Jesus. People's lives are being changed. And I won't quit preaching the gospel. I won't quit in telling you to do this until every seat is filled. Because I want everyone in Temecula, Marietta, Lake Elsinore, Menifee to be saved. He said, man, that's pretty bold. I serve a bold God. The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So why should we? God wants people to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why wouldn't you want that too? Why wouldn't you want people to be saved? So trust God to work in your life and invite one person, to our weekend service. Believe God to do it and believe God to make it happen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I invite you to him. I invite you to receive Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now, you can live your best day, say, I'm a good person, never done wrong to anybody, and you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to still die and go to hell. Because we don't preach a theology of just be good and you'll be okay. There's none good, no, not one. You're not good enough. But also, you're not bad enough that you can't be saved. See, isn't that good news? The good news is no one is too good that they don't need Jesus. And the good news is no one is too bad that they can't be saved. Jesus loves you. And there are many people that live their life thinking this, oh, I'm okay. Hey, I don't hurt nobody. I take care of my family. And like, so what? That's great. Should be applauded. But it has no eternal perspective tied to it. What profit a man or woman to gain the whole world and lose their soul? There's a lot of good people in the world. I'm going to say something that might shock some of you. There's a lot of good people in hell. Who we said, there was that was a good person. I'll say something else. There's some people you say that were bad that are in heaven. Because they recognized they were bad and they came to the person who was good, which was Jesus, and said, God, forgive me. And God saved them. I can name some people that was bad. Matter of fact, I ain't got to name them one. You actually looking at one. I was a bad boy. But when I recognized that Jesus was real, I repented. He changed my life. He forgave me. What about you? He called me for a purpose. To lead his people to follow Jesus. What does God call you to do? And my prayer is that you don't waste your life. You only get one shot at it. Don't waste this life that God's giving you on fun, on stuff. Give your life to Jesus. And he will give you a purpose.